the marketing world and you're looking for inspiration, or you're a business leader who wants to understand what good marketing looks like, you're busy. You don't have time to sit around listening to a rambling 3-hour podcast. We get it. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast, where we celebrate the marketing rock stars that deliver truly remarkable marketing. And you'll hear short interviews with marketing execs who share stories about the best marketing they've ever done, how it delivered a huge impact, and how they overcame all the challenges to make it happen. If you aspire to be remarkable, you'll walk away with ideas on how to do truly epic marketing, getting right to the content of what you need for busy professionals. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Now your host, Eric Eden.
Welcome to today's episode. Our guest today is Heather. She is a public relations guru. She runs her own agency. Welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here and really help people understand how to scale your business with public relations. You can do it yourself. You can hire an agency. And I've seen so many miracles happen from getting in the media. So exciting.
Miracles. That's amazing. We can't have enough miracles in marketing. So why don't you talk just for a minute or two, just so people have a little bit of context. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So I am the founder of Publicity for Good. I started 8 years ago. I've been a publicist for more than 12 years and I want to do PR till I'm 110. I love publicity. I used to dream of working for nonprofits and volunteering or going into lobbying. And then I saw, wow, like one TV segment can have such an impact and reach millions and millions of people that I really fell in love with PR. And there's just so many miracles that happen. So for Publicity for Good, we work with mission-driven and purpose-driven brands and people to get their message really into the world.
That's great. It's the opposite of publicity for evil, right? Sorry, I didn't bring the best jokes for the start of the episode. Those come later. So why don't you tell us a story about some of the best marketing and PR that you've done that you're most proud of?
Absolutely. Everything really starts with connecting your story and business to what's happening in the news and trending topics, right? You need relevancy and the media want to know. They want to know, why does it matter? So your company or your story has to be a solution. But we took a brand that just had an e-commerce website. It was a popcorn brand. They weren't in the media before much. And in 16 months time, they were in the media more than 300 times. And literally, when you looked at them and all their competitors, they were ranked number 4 for most amount of publicity. And what was really cool is we did this amazing campaign. We had 19 days to execute. It was for National Popcorn Day. We had our highest day of sales on their website. We ranked on Google. We probably secured about 50 backlinks. We did about 3 to 4 TV segments. We had National Fox and Friends taste test on air. And the benefits were building a community, ranking on Google, having the highest day of sales, and really telling their story, their heart, and that the majority of their employees self-identify as having a disability. So it's popcorn with a purpose. Not only is it the best gourmet popcorn, but they employ people that have disability. So that was really the heart of the story. And yeah, it was fun. It was exciting. It was fast paced.
Popcorn with a purpose. I love it. Popcorn always has a purpose with me, but I love popcorn with a purpose even better. How did you do it? How did you get those great results for them? What was that you did that was able to drive that sort of great result?
So it was really bridging the gap between the product and the message and what was going on in the world. So we always look for trending topics in the news and awareness days. So that was our first step. We then made sure we really told the brand story, and we love with the brand story first, followed by the product, because I think pitches, a lot of times people will pitch the media and it's too salesy, right? The third piece is we made sure that everything was aligned from a marketing, a messaging, and a PR perspective, right? Like, what promotion can we run? What's the call to action for all the press and all those things? So we included a promotion so consumers could buy and would want to buy because that there was a promotion. And then we also made sure that we added the right links into all of our pitches. And then lastly, that we had all the assets organized for all the media members. So they used the right messaging, the right photos, and we made it as easy as possible. And then it was a lot of nurturing and following up and calling and texting and just doing what we needed to do to get them booked. But then at the very beginning, setting goals. We want to secure this many TV interviews. We want this many placements or blog reviews. So we had those black and white goals in the very beginning. And then it was just execution. And then at the end, celebrating and looking at the stats. And then we did it another year and we like quadrupled our results. So wow. We had a baseline of where we were. And then we set a goal to increase it by a certain percent and we crushed it. So it was exciting.
What was the hardest part about doing that?
It's just the follow through, because sometimes people will say they're interested in doing a story. So a lot of times working with a media member is a lot of touches, like calling and emailing until it's booked, right? I'd say that would be probably the hardest process. Now, from experience, though, sometimes it's really hard with brands where companies, and they're like, we only want national media. And that makes it really hard because national media won't even interview you until you have examples of coverage. And you don't want to be a one-hit wonder, meaning that if they Google you and there's no press, and then you're just on Good Morning America, it doesn't look authentic and it looks like you bought that segment. That's hard when people are not committed to doing the work, right? Like I've been in the media 700 plus times, but I mean, it took years until I was in Business Insider or Fox News. And a lot of it's timing and your story evolves over time. Like when I first was in the media, it was when I was talking about why you need to have purpose in your business and how to add a four-year component to your business. Then it was when I was Miss Ohio and I talked about that and giving back. Then it was running a company from an Airstream and scaling a six-figure company. Now it's really running a seven-figure company, a team of 30, almost having three kids under three, building a homestead. Like your story evolves over time, but it's really hard when people are not willing. They're so focused on that one thing. Like I want Good Morning America. I want Business Insider. But there's so many extra benefits. Like when you pitch the media website, you get more website traffic, you get more backlink. You can utilize all the media logos in your marketing and really grow your community.
I've always had this sense that PR is a little bit like sales, and you have to have a pursuit of getting each placement. But it's not salesy in the sense that people don't want to just do puff pieces on companies or their products. They want to cover news. So you have to tie it into something that is trending, like you were saying. Is that right?
It is. I would say yes, at the sales perspective, and I view it's a numbers game, and I view that it's cumulative and the compound. So when we partner with you, we have a monthly goal of media members that say they want to interview you or review your product. If I look at a year and we do the follow-up and each month we get new interest, it's going to be the compound. So like you can't allow yourself to be complacent when you get a potential producer that's, yeah, I want to do a segment, because things change and everything. I definitely agree with the sales component of it, but it's really based on relationships too.
Yep, that makes sense. And I think a key part of it, you were saying a lot of companies only want to be in the national media. Of course, every CEO that I've worked with has said things like, I want you to give me on the cover of Forbes and I want an exclusive in TechCrunch. And I think a big part of it is managing expectations, like you're saying, having goals at the beginning and agreeing on those goals and managing expectations for what's possible and what's realistic.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely expectation setting, being transparent. There are things happen in the world that causes areas of opportunity for brands or people or national media right away. But I would say most national media typically takes 6 months, and literally, they ask you where you've been featured or do you have any clips of you and on UWeb TV before, because the media is not going to say yes to you and have you be horrible on TV because they care about the ratings. They care about the impressions and everything too, right? So much has evolved over time, even from the online article perspective, right? Like they have the editorial department and the e-commerce department. And when they write a roundup, they want revenue from it as well.
Makes sense. So if you were on stage talking in person to 1,000 marketers who wanted to win a PR and do better at PR, what would you tell them?
So I would say you really first need to create a strategic plan going forward. You need to have a proactive plan around what's your messaging every month, because I find most of the time brands will come out with a new product or have a big company announcement. They'll do a news release. They'll put it on the wire. There's buzz and then it dies. Most people are reactive. Where you have to be proactive, you need to get press month over month, quarter over quarter, because you have to build your community. It increases the perceived value of your company. But what happens if a crisis happens? You having press out there is going to help you when a crisis comes, because they already know you're a good company and that they can read about you. I would honestly say that PR is non-negotiable, and you don't have to be a really like million plus dollar company. I've seen people that just get local media with their story and small little website. And it's very much, I would say, relationship-based and story-based. So.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I think that's great advice. Do you think that once companies get some PR traction, even if it's local stories and not necessarily the cover story in national media, do you think that marketing has a role to amplify PR to get the most out of it?
Yeah, because when the press goes live, it's really the job of the marketing team to amplify it. So that's ensuring there's a strategic plan in place to utilize those press logos, you know, in your email list. If you're running a promotion, say, hey, we were just featured in Forbes, read it here and get 10% off. It's updating your press page on your website where you've been featured. It's updating all your collateral. And then even the sales team should be using your press to nurture potential leads as well. So the job just starts when the interview is completed or there's a live link. And then it's content, right? Instead of having to create all this new content for social, you can utilize your articles. You can take a podcast interview and get 30 pieces of content from one interview and use it across social media. I can take this interview. I can have my team transcribe it and then use this content for social media posts or articles.
If you're being in PR for almost 10 years, how do you think that it's evolving?
Yeah, there's a lot more independent companies and networks. For sure. I would view influencers and YouTubers as media members, right? They have their own audiences. There's been a lot of consolidation, and there's a lot more, I'd say, looking at metrics, especially when it comes to big publications. If they're going to interview you, they want a high rating. If they're going to review if Good Housekeeping is going to review your product, they want to be able to earn a commission for reviewing your product. There's been a lot more consolidation. Way more independent publishing companies out there, which is awesome. There's way more opportunity. There's way more opportunity to write independently for all those third-party websites and blogs. And there's a huge focus on the affiliate side and how is a media company going to essentially make a profit off of sharing your product, because it's all about business too, right? It's all about the numbers and keeping these media companies alive.
Have you had some good success with influencers with your clients?
Yes, especially more from like a content user genre, user-generated content perspective. So brands are struggling with creating content on social media. The reason I love micro-influencers is instead of hiring a photographer or videographer, you could partner with micro-influencers and they can create content. They can post it on their feed. They can tag you. And now all that content is in your feed instead of you having to post. And you can literally reach out to people. You can just send them product and they'll do content for you. I absolutely believe in micro influencers and building your community.
Awesome. Any final thoughts of PR wisdom to share?
Yeah, I firmly believe that PR is the fastest way to grow your business. I have seen more revenue and impact come in from local media. Local people like to hear from local entrepreneurs and businesses.
Awesome for being with us today. Thanks for sharing your story and these PR insights. We appreciate it. I will link to your company's website in the show notes so people can easily connect with you.
Yeah, look up Publicity for Good. If you guys need anything, if you guys have questions about PR, I always love doing free strategy calls and really casting a vision of what's possible for you.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us today.
You've been listening to the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Our passion is to bring you the marketing rock stars who share stories about the best marketing they've done, how it delivered, and how they handled all the challenges that go along with it. And we do it all in 10 minutes. We only ask two things. First, visit the RemarkableMarketing.io website for more great insights. Second, this podcast has been brought to you by the Next Generation Social Networking App, Workverse. You can download and use the Workverse app for free to build your professional brand, become a paid expert advisor, and discover the best business events to attend. Download the Workverse app today. See you next time on the Remarkable Marketing Podcast.